Today we're rebuilding a classic jungle and old-school D&B percussion layer in Ableton Live 12, using a vocal sample and turning it into something gritty, chopped, and full of character. Now, even though this lesson lives in the vocals area, we are not really treating the sample like a lead vocal, we're using it like raw rhythmic material. That's a very old jungle mindset. If a sound has a strong attack, a weird texture, or a little bit of personality, you can turn it into percussion. And that's the whole point here. In drum and bass, percussion is not just decoration. It's momentum. It's swing. It's the dust between the hits. A good percussion layer can make a break feel more alive without crowding your kick, sub, or main snare. So let's get into it. First, pick a short vocal source. Keep it simple. A single word, a breath, a shout, a chopped phrase, even a tiny spoken fragment can work. The important thing is that it has a sharp front edge. Consonants like T, K, SH, or HA are especially useful, because those little attack moments can behave like drum hits once we slice them up. If your sample is too smooth, that's okay. We're going to reshape it. But for now, listen for a piece that already has some rhythm in it. If you can hear the sample almost like a percussive gesture before doing anything to it, that's a great sign. Drag the audio into an audio track in Ableton and turn warp on if it isn't already. For this kind of work, you want the sample locked tightly to the tempo. In jungle and D&B, usually around 170 to 174 BPM, timing matters a lot. If the chop feels loose, the whole groove can feel lazy. A good starting warp mode here is beats if the sample is punchy, or complex pro if you want to smooth it before slicing and resampling. But don't overthink that yet. The main goal is just to get the sample behaving in time. Trim the clip down so it's short and focused. Less is usually more in D&B. A tiny fragment can hit harder than a full phrase. We're not trying to preserve the lyric, we're trying to steal the texture. Once the sample is feeling tight, right-click and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. This is where the fun really starts. Ableton will create a drum rack from the sample, and now each slice becomes a playable pad. That means you can program the vocal like a percussion instrument. This is a very classic jungle move in spirit. Old-school producers were always chopping, repurposing, and resampling things until they became part of the groove. We're doing the same thing here, just with Ableton's stock tools. Now open up the drum rack and audition the slices. Some will be more useful than others. Don't try to use every slice just because it exists. Pick the ones that have the best attack, the nicest little transient, or the most interesting texture. Start programming a simple pattern. Keep it sparse. Put a hit on an offbeat. Add a lighter hit before the snare. Leave some empty space. Let the main break breathe. If you're unsure where to place things, build around the snare. That's a great beginner trick. The snare is your anchor. Put smaller events around it so the percussion supports the groove instead of competing with it. Now let's shape the slices. Inside each pad, you'll usually find simpler. Open one or two important slices and adjust them so they feel more like percussion and less like voice. Try one shot or classic mode. If the slice clicks too hard at the front, move the start point forward just a touch. Add a tiny fade to smooth out the click if needed. You can also pitch the slice down a few semitones, or even an octave or two lower if you want a darker, heavier texture. That pitch down move can be magic for jungle vibes. It gives the sample a more chesty, worn, sampled feel. Not clean, not polished, but alive. That roughness is part of the aesthetic. Don't chase perfect cleanliness here. A bit of grime is exactly what makes this style work. If a slice has too much sharp top end, use the filter in Simpler to soften it. You want the hit to feel tight and percussive, not brittle and painful. Now let's dirty it up in a controlled way. Add a saturator after the drum rack, then try Drum Bus, EQ8, and optionally Redux if you want extra digital dust. Keep it subtle at first. You are aiming for crunchy sampler character, not total destruction. A good starter point for saturator is a few dB of drive, with soft clip-on. That gives you a little edge and density. Drum bus can add punch and thickness, but keep it gentle. For this layer, you do not want huge low-end bloom. We're not building a kick. Then open EQ8 and high-pass the layer somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on what the sample is doing. This keeps it out of the sub-zone, which is sacred space in D&B. If the sample gets harsh, dip a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz, and if it feels too thin, a small boost in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz area can bring back that boxy sampler body. That mid-range body is important. It helps the layer feel like it belongs in the track. It should add attitude and texture without muddying the low end. If you want even more crunch, add a tiny amount of Redux. Just a little. The goal is a hint of old digital grime, not a blown-out mess. A touch of bit reduction can make it feel like it came out of a worn sampler or a dusty record chain. Now create a MIDI clip and program a simple rhythm. Keep it short, repeatable, and easy to understand. A good beginner pattern might be one main chop on an offbeat, plus one or two ghost notes before the snare. Ghost notes are really important here. They give the groove movement. Make them quieter than the main hits, maybe in the 30 to 70 velocity range, while your main hits sit higher, around 90 to 127. That contrast is what makes the rhythm feel human instead of robotic. This is a classic jungle trick. The groove often feels bigger because of what is not playing. Bass is part of the rhythm. If every slice is firing constantly, the layer will just get in the way. Once the pattern is in place, add groove. You can use Ableton's groove pool, or borrow swing from a breakbeat if you have one. Apply it lightly. You want a little push and pull, not exaggerated swing that fights the rest of the drums. A good beginner range is pretty subtle. Just enough timing movement to make it feel less gridlocked, and a tiny amount of velocity variation to keep it organic. If it starts feeling late, tighten it by hand. In DNB, the relationship between break, bass, and percussion is everything. Now let's make it breathe in the arrangement. Add an auto filter after your effects, or use the filter in Simpler if you prefer. Automate the cutoff so the layer starts filtered and opens up as the track builds. This is a really effective way to create tension in intros and drop setups. For example, you might start with the layer tucked low and narrow in the mix, then gradually open it over 8 or 16 bars. By the time the drop lands, the percussion layer feels more present and energetic, even though you haven't added more notes. That's a very useful production trick. Sometimes the best way to build energy is not to add more stuff, but to reveal the stuff you already have. At this point, if the pattern is working, print it. Resample it to auto. That is a very classic workflow in this style. Build, commit, then reshape again. Once it's audio, you can trim it tighter, move it around, reverse tiny pieces, or pitch it slightly for extra attitude. Resampling often gives you a more printed, finished texture too. And that suits jungle. There is something about committing to audio that makes the part feel more real, more intentional, more like a proper sample-based groove. When you bring it back into the mix, treat it like a support instrument, not a lead. Keep it fairly low in level. Often somewhere around -12 to -18 dB is a good starting point, depending on the arrangement. Use utility if you want to keep it narrow or centered. Most of the time, this kind of layer works best fairly mono or tight, because you want it anchored to the beat, not floating all over the stereo field. If it starts fighting the snare, reduce a little mid-range. If it clouds the drum bus, pull the fader down before you try to over-EQ it, and always audition it with the full kit and bass. A sound that feels cool and solo can still wreck the groove in context. A few quick mistakes to avoid here. Don't use a vocal that is too long. Keep it short and focused. Don't leave too much low end in the layer. High pass it. Don't over-crunch it. A little grit goes a long way. Don't overload the pattern with notes. Let it breathe. And don't forget velocity. Quiet ghost notes are a big part of what makes jungle percussion feel alive. If you want to push this further, try a second version of the same layer. Make one copy brighter and thinner, and another copy darker and more degraded. Blend them quietly together. That can create a really rich sampler feel without needing fancy plugins. You can also try reversing just a tiny tail before a hit for a pull-in effect. That's a great old-school move and it works beautifully before snare accents or fills. For arrangement, think in simple sections. An intro can start with filtered texture only. The drop can begin with a sparse version. Then, in the second half of the drop, bring in more activity or a small variation. That keeps the energy moving without overcrowding the track. Here's the core takeaway. Take a short vocal sample, slice it, shape it, rough it up a little, and place it like a support beam inside the drum groove. Keep it out of the sub-range. Give it some grit, some swing, and some movement. Then resample and automate it so it becomes part of the track's personality. For the style, less is often more. A few well-placed ghost hits can make the whole drum section feel bigger, dustier, and more human. Now your challenge is simple. Build one usable vocal percussion layer in 10 to 20 minutes. Keep it small. Keep it gritty. Make it support the break, then resample it and drop it into a 4-bar loop, with a bit of filter automation. That's your jungle texture mission for today. Keep it tight, keep it dusty, and let the groove do the talking.